Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your questions or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Peter wrote this at the end of his first letter. He said, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." In other translations, it reads, "Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you." In this world that we live in, we can have a lot of cares. Our minds can get very troubled about the things that are going on, if not in our own personal lives, just as we look out there in the world. I mean, we have a Malaysian airliner that crashes today in Ukraine. We're not sure how. We don't know the cause. Folks are saying maybe it was shot down. Who knows? But those things are out there. And then we read about what's going on in the Middle East. And, you know, there's ground operation happening in Gaza. Israel has launched that. I think they're trying to find tunnels in which Hamas is using to get into Israeli territory, and, you know, all sorts of things. And boy, if you're prophecy minded, you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, or is the end? Yeah. Is the end here? Is the Lord coming right now?" And that could be. But the fact of the matter, we ask those questions because our minds get troubled. And that's not freedom when we're living with anxiety. And this isn't just a little feeling. It's when your mind really gets disturbed about life. That's what anxiety is, when your mind gets really disturbed about life. There's no freedom there. And one of the reasons we get so disturbed in life is because we take things on our own shoulders. We look at ourselves as the only solution. You know, it's up to us. We have to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we forget that God's in the picture, that God's actually living inside of us. And so when we cast those cares upon him, that's when we experience emotional freedom. That's when our minds can experience peace and rest and a calmness, and those disturbed minds can look like a still lake.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything prettier in life than a still lake, just like glass water. That's what our minds can be when they're resting in Christ Jesus. Well, if you're having a tough circumstance in life, if your mind is troubled, we invite you to call. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. This really is a program about you, about what you're going through, and how the Word of God can intersect in such a powerful way to bring you peace and joy in the midst of whatever circumstance you're experiencing. So come be a part of the program. We would love to talk with you today.
1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of time, plenty of open lines for you to slide in and be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, how you guys doing, my brothers in Christ? How you feeling today?
Just feeling great. How about you?
I'm feeling good. I just got out of work. I'm feeling good. And I have a question. I know you guys have an answer, so let me ask the question. The question is, the name Jehovah, I know it's a translation from Yahweh, but my thing is, you know, this came with vowels. Once they put the vowels in, because we know that the original Jews, they didn't want to break the fourth commandment, I believe, so they couldn't pronounce the name, so they substituted it for Lord. So my thing is, this name Jehovah is a translation for Yahweh, but biblically, if man put vowels in it, is this the original name for God? Like, would God declare this as being his name, being that we added vowels? I just, you know, I was wondering about that, so I just want to get your outlook on that. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, well, Eugene, I mean, his name really is I Am. That's who he said he was when Moses asked, who shall I tell these folks who sent me? And God responded, I am that I am. That's his name, and that was the word Yahweh, I believe. And we've translated that to Jehovah. But here's this God. He's revealed himself throughout creation. And his final word to man was a revelation of himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to us through Jesus Christ. And that's how we get to know God, is through Jesus.
Right. And my last thing is, Jesus never used the name Jehovah. So that's right there to me makes me question, because Jesus always, like I said, declared God as the Father. So if this was God's original name, Jesus would definitely use it. Like in the New Testament, it's not there one single time. So that's why I was questioning. But I thank you for your answers. I really thank you for it.
Well, you're welcome, Eugene. Richard, do you have anything to add?
The whole idea of a name of God is a human construct. God has revealed himself to us, and you see this especially in the Old Testament, by various names. And there's one poster I remember that you just see these names of God, and it's breathtaking. But he did that for our benefit so that we could get a more complete picture of who he is. Of course, as soon as we name God and try to say that this is the name, then we have limited him, because we're limiting him to something we understand and have grabbed onto. So you're right about the word itself, Jehovah. It was many years after original Hebrew that they started adding these little vowel pointings. I wouldn't make too much of it. Jesus was revealing a God who was in the business of restoring relationship in a way that the Jews, who had the law, could not understand, because he was going to deal with sin once and for all and then bring the Holy Spirit to bear inside of us. That's a complete change in everything. And so every word that Jesus spoke about the Father was a relational word, as near as I can tell. He was declaring what this relationship was going to change, how it was going to change, what it was going to change into, and declaring that he indeed, as God himself, was going to usher in that change. And so he didn't need to convince us about the all-powerful God. They already knew about that. And as a good Jew, he wouldn't have used the word Yahweh, because people didn't speak that word. So he was completely consistent and completely moving forward into this new covenant that we get to live in now.
Eugene, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Moses, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Moses.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you as well.
Yeah, I confuse with Romans chapter 3, verse 31, and I cannot understand it really, but I heard you all times speaking, giving good direction, answer question about the Bible. So
okay, so Romans 3:31 is the mm-hmm. verse you're questioning. Well, here's what it says, just for the audience. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. And when we trust in Jesus Christ, we're recognizing that Jesus Christ has upheld the law on our behalf. So the law isn't merely a series of statements, thou shalt not do this. It also includes punishment. The wages of sin is death. So when we recognize that Jesus Christ took the punishment that we deserved, When we're trusting in his work on the cross, we're upholding the law. We're not nullifying it. We're upholding it. We are admitting our guilt. We are admitting that we deserve punishment, but we're confessing that Jesus Christ has taken our punishment for us. That's what it means to uphold the law. So we're not nullifying it by faith. We're simply saying it's come to its completion as far as we're concerned.
Hello?
Does that make sense to you, Moses?
No, because I understand what should be our position about the law. Can we ignore it or not? Can we ignore the law or not according to the text? This is my whole problem.
Well, that's not what the passage is saying. It's not saying whether we should ignore it or not ignore
it.
It's saying that we simply uphold it through our faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh, we have to approve it, right?
We do by faith in Jesus Christ. We're upholding the law through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we uphold the law, not any other way. Now, if you're trying to live up to it to gain a status before God, if you're trying to live up to it to earn your way into heaven, you're going to stand judged and condemned. And the law will not be upheld in your life until that final judgment comes. But those who have come to faith in Christ Jesus, they are saying that Christ has stepped in and upheld the law on their behalf. That's what this passage is saying. Now, once we come to Christ, Moses, and I think that's what you're getting at, once we come to Christ and we're born again, we have God's Spirit living inside of us, we have a new way of life, and that life is to be led by the Spirit of God. So, for example, and here's why this is so important, the law, Moses tells you not to commit adultery, but it says nothing to you about how you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's where the Spirit comes into play. If you're going to know how to love your wife as Christ loved the church, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to have to illuminate your mind as to what the love of God really is, and then give you ways in which you can live that out and pass that on to your wife. The law also says don't steal from your neighbor. That's what it says. But if we're to serve our neighbor in love, then we're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. I can say I haven't stolen anything from my neighbor, but that doesn't mean I've loved my neighbor. That just simply means I haven't stolen anything from them. So this new life that we have in Christ, as Paul wrote, it's the new way of the Spirit. It's not of the law, it's of the Spirit. And that's exactly what he says in Romans 7:6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. So as believers, Moses, we need to concentrate on figuring out what this new way of the Spirit is all about. And if it's sourced by the Spirit of God, in other words, he's the originator, then we can count on the fact that it's going to be good. It's going to be exactly what God wants for us. So we don't have to worry. So if I'm loving my wife as Christ loved the church, the law that says don't commit adultery, I'm not so worried about that. I'm not thinking about committing adultery. I'm thinking about loving my wife as Christ loved the church, as the Spirit of God is leading me down that path.
So suppose I commit adultery. Suppose I steal. Suppose I kill. I could say that's no problem because the law is have nothing to do with.
Well, Moses, let me ask you: Does that measure up to love? Is that what God's Spirit would lead you to do? I don't think so.
Yes, that's right. The text said that if I say I know God and I ignore his law, I am a liar. God's law, the grace of God compel me, you know, to respect the law.
Well, you respect it by being led by the Spirit. Moses, I don't know why you would be asking questions about what it means to be led by the Spirit. I mean, the Bible is very clear.
New Testament
is very clear. And if you're being led by the Spirit, you're not going to be violating the law, but you're also going to go much further than what the law leads you to. I mean, what God wants is for you to love Him and to love others as Christ has loved you. The law can't produce that. Only the Spirit of God can produce that in you. So if you will concentrate on this new way of the Spirit, everything is going to be just fine, Moses.
Yeah, I know. What you said there, I understand it good. But I mean, the grace of Jesus don't let me free from the law. He let me free from sin, but not from the law. The law, I have to respect it.
You can respect it, but don't use it as your guide for life. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. That's all I'm saying,
okay,
Moses.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Moses. Thanks for your call. Just a couple of reminders. Next Thursday, 1 week from today, July 24th, WMCA is sponsoring a live event at the American Bible Society. Kevin McCullough will be there. I will be joining him on his broadcast, and then we will be broadcasting Basic Gospel Live from the American Bible Society. The event starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and goes to 5 in the afternoon. We would love for you to come and join us. I would love to see you face-to-face, to shake your hand, and to be able to fellowship together in this grace of God that we've been given in Christ Jesus. It's a free event. We want you to sign up so we can prepare and have enough room and everything set up for you. And how you do that, we have an events page right on our homepage, basicgospel.net. The WMCA live event, just click that and follow all the instructions. But come see me on the 24th of July, next Thursday, at the American Bible Society for the WMCA live event. And then Sunday, July 27th, I will be speaking at the 11 o'clock service at the Beulah Baptist Church. And the address for that is 125 West 130 Street, New York, New York. So there's two opportunities. I would love to see you at one or both next week.
Absolutely. I noticed that there's going to be a lot of synergy between you and Kevin McCarthy because you both have the same hairstyle.
We do go to the same stylist. Indeed. Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have calls on the board, but still probably a little room for you if you'd like to come in and pose your question quickly. That number, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Antonia, listening to us in Brooklyn. Welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm calling because I recently separated from my husband. No, I didn't separate. He left. And, you know, he was anguished in leaving, but he had kept saying that, you know, he hadn't been happy for years. And no matter how I tried to convince him, he still left. And since he left, you know, he still corresponds, talks to me every day, texts me every day, says he loves me and everything. But when I try to ask him, you know, are you coming home? Are we getting back together? He still says he doesn't know. And, like, it's you know, he's just, you know, everything he does says, I love you and I want to be with you. I mean, he calls me morning, noon, and night, last thing before he goes to bed, first thing in the day. If I don't call him, he calls me. And I'm, you know, you started out the broadcast talking about anxiety, and I feel I can't function. I mean, I'm so anxious every day. I cry every day, and I pray every day.
Well, Antonia, what you need in marriage as a woman is some security.
Yes, exactly.
And what he's ripped out from underneath you is your security blanket, and he's just left you out there dangling. And all these phone calls and these statements that he's sending your way are just playing with your emotions. So you're like a yo-yo. You're going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And with every, with every time, that just intensifies the anxiety, doesn't it?
Yes, it rips my heart out every time.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to tell them that. I think you need to tell them that, listen, you're toying with my emotions. You walked out. That rejection is some of the deepest pain I've ever felt in my life. And now, every time you call me, you just are rubbing salt in that wound.
Rubbing the heart out.
Yeah, every time you call me, you're just pushing that dagger in a little further. And if you really love me, stop doing that. Either come back and let's work this out, or go your merry way. Don't toy with me.
All right. I'm so afraid to do that because I'm afraid he'll go.
Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Which, like I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you believe that he loves you and that nothing can separate you from his love?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you believe that he wants you to respond in faith rather than fear?
Yes.
Okay. So let's trust the Lord in this, Antonia, and let's say if the Lord is leading you to tell your husband truth, then tell truth and leave the results of that in God's hands.
Okay.
Okay? Because the hope for the marriage to be restored, for reconciliation to take place, is not on your shoulders and it's not on your husband's shoulders. It's in the Lord's hands, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's who you need to look to in this situation. You need to look to him and trust him. And I would tell him, because that's truth. And if you really love him, I think what you need to do is tell him truth.
Okay.
Okay? And there's a whole family of believers listening in right now, and they're going to be joining you in prayer, okay? So
okay.
You've got a whole group of people supporting you and are praying for you, as well as this ministry. And what I want to do, Antonio, I want to put you on hold, and we're going to get some information, and I want to send it to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And I feel your hurt. I feel your pain. I feel that anxiety. Cast it upon Jesus Christ. And okay. The reason you can is because he cares for you. You hang on, my sweet sister. You hang
okay.
on. The Lord loves you.
Well, if that doesn't reach your heart, nothing will.
No, absolutely. That rejection is such...
It's harsh.
I think that's the most intense pain that we can experience.
Yes.
When you've been married, you've become one with somebody, and then your mate walks out. I mean, that is the sharpest dagger going the deepest that it can into our the recesses of our souls. And when somebody toys with that, it just hurts even more. So... listeners, keep praying for Antonio, and we'll trust the Lord with him to work it together for good.
And a blessing that this broadcast is here when people have a need.
Yes, indeed.
So we can point them to the one who has the cure, who has the comfort and the grace to get through these situations. Well, speaking of the cure, we have a copy of John Lynch's book, The Cure, for you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month of July. And if you'd like to get a copy, we would really appreciate your partnership with us. Of course, the bottom line always is the undergirding of the ministry, the support of the ministry. And you can find the link at basicgospel.net for The Cure, basicgospel.net, or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us today. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.